Fugue, a play for four voices by Romulus Linney, was performed by Jill Berry, Sarah Heifetz, Daniel Mora, and Irene Ziegler, and recorded in studios at Virginia Commonwealth University on December 12, 2001. Daniel Mora directed.
I won $500 American dollars in a Dusseldorf crap game. Got my 30-day leave and took off. Tried Copenhagen first. Caught cold. Went to London. Couldn't relax. Tried Paris. All that brandy made me sick. Said, oh, hell, I want to go to the beach. Took the Mistral to the Riviera.
I went to the beach that day, threw baseballs at bottles like a man, and won a bunny rabbit. With the rabbit came a meal ticket at a country cafe, so I went there too. The woman waiting on me saw my bunny rabbit and said, did you win that at the fair? And I looked up, saying, yes. And she said, I won one too. And I felt, oh, I don't know, a little funny. She was so homely and countrified.
It was the year I entered the Sorbonne. I studied so hard I won a prize, and my grand-maman tripled it, so I had that summer 2,000 francs all my own. I always knew what I would do in my life. Never marry, be a marine biologist, swim every day for my heart, have friends like Prokofiev for my soul. So I went to Avignon to visit my maman, swim, hear concerts, watch plays, Palace of the Popes.
The beach where I worked had chain swings, a loudspeaker playing You Are My Sunshine over and over, a shooting gallery with wooden ducks. I shot the ducks and won a prize. It was a bunny rabbit. I took it to work with me at the cafe. All by herself, she was sitting there, like a doll in a shop, a rabbit like mine on her table. I took her order and said something about the rabbit. I saw she had this little line of sweat above her mouth like a mustache. Then she smiled at me, and I smiled back.
A buddy in K Company told me to go see Avignon if you can. The countryside looks like French painting. So I stopped off there to sit outdoors in a town square cafe where I had a citron pressé. She looked like a Massachusetts tomboy. She wore a U.S. lumberjack shirt, flaps out over blue jeans. But she was French, all right. Formal, a little, and, my God, intelligent.
I came back to Frenchie's Fish Fry the next day, and I saw her again, all hard work and business, and said, hello, remember me? And what I meant was, I want you to touch me. I just do. She said, well, hello again. So I went back. Every day she waited on me, and every day I blushed right up through the roots of my hair.
I liked Americans. My friends did not, but I did. That soldier that day in the square at Avignon, I liked especially. He was so agreeable. He didn't talk very much, but when he did, he had good taste. He didn't know it, but he did.
She was just a baby, thinking I was a game she wanted to play, but I saw different and most near dropped the fried fish on the floor. It's her mama, I said to myself. She don't have one, the poor child, but she said no, she had a mama. That's not what she wanted at all.
She asked me would I come swimming with her friends in a river under a Roman bridge. She was a student at the honest-to-God Sorbonne, studying marine biology. The sea, she said, the sea. We drank brandy that night under that Roman bridge, built by soldiers like me centuries ago, and we talked. Oh, soberly and sensibly.
All her teeth seemed broken, lines cut everywhere into her face. There were scars on her arms, on one side of her throat, and deep shadows made her eyes look hard. I asked her why. Why she looked like that. She told me her life was like that, that I was a child. Was I coming back tomorrow?
So we swam with the others in the river under the Roman bridge. But when he saw me in my bikini, he was no longer interested in the others. He took me home where I stayed with my maman. I shook hands with him like a good soldier. Said it had been a pleasure. What was he doing tomorrow night?
It was like that for a long time. I was scared to be seen with her. Town country club child about to make some debut somewheres. I never let her drive me home when she wanted to, or God save us, see where I lived. But we would sit some on the beach when I got off work. Commenced to jabber one to the other. And a body couldn't stop.
I thought about it. What was she seeing in G.I. ordinary me? But damn if I didn't think she was seeing something. Pale she was, splotches of crimson high on her cheeks like a woman in the kind of painting my K Company buddy said I ought to find. She told me she was the daughter of a French aristocrat descended from a field marshal of Napoleon. I believed her. Said sure, that was why she liked soldiers.
On the beach by the ocean, after she got off her hard work, I told her how it was with me. I could talk to her. I wasn't a small-town girl, spoiled silly with the right clothes and hairdo, and nothing else matters, not with her. Why, I asked myself, why was that? Why can I talk to you like to no one else ever, ever in all my life?
My American soldier told me I was beautiful. No, I told him, no, it was my sister who was the beautiful one, because that is the way our maman knew it would be. One was the beauty, one was the brains. I had the brains, not the beauty. And my fine soldier then told me my maman was wrong, which nobody ever said to me before, because I had both. And for him, I did.
Then I took her hands in mine. The way I took my two daughters' hands in mine when they was little. The way I held my three boys by the hands when they was all little. I told her there wasn't nothing, not nowhere in this whole wide world she couldn't say to me she took a mind to it, wherever she went, whatever she did, long as I lived.
The next night in Avignon, we saw a play in a courtyard in a palace used by the popes when they weren't in Italy for reasons I didn't understand. Then she took me to this gypsy nightclub. It was closed, but all the gypsies were there and let us in. Three gypsy children got up in front of their mamas and papas and all the gypsies to dance and sing and get trained like soldiers in their survival. One boy did all right, singing. A little girl did better than that, dancing and singing. Then a third boy couldn't do anything right. It made no difference. All three gypsy children got the same cheers from smart mamas and papas training them, and my smart French aristocrat squeezed my hand under the table. So I asked her, come away with me. She said, no, no. She said she had to visit her grandmother in Venice, but she kept on squeezing my hand while children danced and sang.
He took me to Nice, to the Bataille des Fleurs. He would beat me with flowers. I knew he had good taste.
I got off the train at Nice to the flower fight festival my K Company buddy told me about, where it was all fresh air and marble and sunlight. Dazzling. Hectic. You wanted to dance. Gypsy children, that's how this GI felt. There were these big floats in the streets at night, covered with flowers, beautiful French-Italian girls riding them. And I mean big, strong men slapping each other with flowers.
People passing each other in the night, singing, throwing confetti in your face if they like what they saw. He got us the last hotel room in Nice. I was happy to see he was not only agreeable, he was capable.
Hotel des Anglais, for God's sakes. Huge, overpriced room. Blood-red wallpaper, paintings of roses up one side, down the other. Big as cabbages. I saw the roses and knew what to do. Run out into the street.
He tore roses off the floats and brought them to me piled high in his arms. He tore roses all to pieces and scattered them all over that ugly room, rug, bed, and in the old big bathtub. We jumped in together, wet, naked, happy. And he said, why are you here with me? And I said, first man. You are my first man. I planned my life. I picked you for that. As long as I live, I can never forget you. Now give me the soap and kiss me.
I told her all that about myself, how being with her was like the best of church, which was always singing in the choir, when I can feel wonderful, when great feelings rise up inside of me. Could she understand that? The singing, all of us, all together, and she said, "Yes, I understand it all right. I sing like that too sometimes, honey, but not in church."
What was I going to do with her? And what was she doing to me, not knowing and maybe not even caring nothing about me? Well, I was hardly able to know where I was or who I was, dead drunk as a slut on the floor, with her chit-chattering away, not seeing how far down gone I was, just looking at her chit-chat with my arms burning up to hold her.
She lost her job at the cafe because her husband wanted her to work in a mill factory. More money. I didn't see her for the longest time, thinking it was for the best, until, oh God, one Sunday morning, Methodist church, I stood up to sing my solo, "Only a Rose Will Do," and I saw somebody come in the back of the church, and, oh God, there she was, in that congregation, like some old black sheep with her broken teeth, looking for me.
In that spotless place, roses and lilies on the altar, smelling so sweet, all that rich perfume, and fur pieces on blue-haired ladies. Well, I paid all that no mind. She commenced to sing all by herself, and she was my flower then, my rose, my own.
Oh, yes. I gave her the soap and kissed her all right, and the next evening we sailed from Nice. Over the sea she studied in school, on a night boat to Corsica, where she'd never been, which I'd hardly heard of.
Where we lived ensemble for months in little hotels on the beaches, under the Corsican sun, among the palm trees and the flies, and the bed wine, and the beautiful cleansing sunsets and winds.
And 3 months later, after my wedding, I stood, a stupid bride, scatterbrained in taffeta and lace, thinking of nothing in the world but her. And, Almighty God, here she came again in a cheap flower print dress with a pink hat. Preposterous. Absurd. With dime store white gloves and all her scars and broken teeth.
That boy she'd married was fixing to dance with her. I knowed I'd never get to her after that, so I went up to her, did it proper as I knowed how. Gave her a kiss on the cheek. Handed her a silver spoon for a baby and a bottle of whiskey for the wedding night. She said, "Thank you." I said, "You're welcome."
"Would you care for some champagne?" I said, like a fool. She said, "No, not now. I best go." Then she did. See, I was upset, and she put her cheap white glove on my arm and told me it was all right. She knew what it was. All it was. I'd been scared about getting married. That was it. All there was to it. Why I had done what I had done to her. Me dying to say out loud, "No, no, no." But couldn't. So I offered her cake, coffee, have something. But she said, "No." And kissed me again and left.
When I left, I didn't know where I was. Not for the longest time.
We were swimming. I was running away from her. She was supposed to chase me, but kept stumbling. I yelled she could do better than that. She said no, she couldn't, and started choking, gasping, gulping air, hands on her chest. I said, "Hey now, you all right?" She said, "Yes, I just can't go that fast." Well, I said, "Why not? You weren't going all that fast." She said, "No," and I said, "Cramps? Time of month?" She said, "Non maladie de corps tu comprends."
"Heart trouble," he said. And I said, "Yes, in my family. Very spectacular. We live passionate youths, perform miracles, then our hearts turn to rubber. We wear them out for the great Napoleon. Flip-flop, 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 and flop dead. Yes. I will have surgery soon. They tell me I'm not so bad as my father was at this age. He died 41, his father 38. I am 23, so I have a long time. I will live a long, long time. He said, really? This is the truth? I said, oui, vraiment.
Who was that? My groom said, laughing. The hotel orchestra played. I was swept out onto the ballroom dance floor, away from my mother, my father, my life as a child, to my husband, my children, and to the day I had to see her again.
And we said to each other, are you sure? Yes, we must know. Best not. Yes, I'll die. No, it'll hurt. Yes. You think I don't know that? No, you think you do, but you don't. Yes, I can't live without you. No, please, honey. Yes, or I will die then. Yes, yes, we both said yes. All right then.
What kind of surgery? He said to me. And I to him, open heart, le dernier cri. He, it's dangerous. Me, bien sûr. They must take a knife and then go whoop, then pull my chest and bones open and say, voilà, monsieur le cœur. And then they must do this and that to it. Well, yes, dangerous. Are you sad for me? And he was sad, just saying, oh shit, honey. And I said, oui, vraiment, oh shit, honey. Well, he said, but what they do now? I mean, doctors can do almost anything now, almost. You got a good doctor? I said, the best. He said, hospital? I said, the biggest. He said, well, great. And I said, so be my buddy. You're what? He said. And I said to him, you know, like soldiers have. I like that, what you call each other. Hey, buddy, like that. He said, buddy. I said, yes, buddy. Remember your old buddy. And he said, I will do that.
And so that is what we did, in beach blankets, in the back seats of cars, through 12 years of motel bedrooms, married to Walter Richards and loving her. And to each other we said, we can stop. No, never. We can never stop.
We said goodbye in the train station at Marseille, making jokes, flip and cheerful until we saw the train.
She came in the motel room without knocking.
I was going to be a scientist and have friends like Prokofiev, but when I saw that awful train, zut, tears.
I just couldn't come no sooner.
My God, this is hard. I can't get my breath.
You're going to leave me.
It is hard to breathe, yes. I'll never see you again.
You can't leave me. I won't let you.
It is not in the heart or in the head, but in the stomach, like being beaten there.
Hush now.
We will leave.
I will leave my husband. I will leave my children.
I think we will. I'm not sure.
No, you know you can. I wouldn't let you.
You won't forget me.
I will live on the floor at your feet.
No, buddy. I won't forget you.
You got to accept it. Do it for me.
All right. For you. Goodbye.
My first man, goodbye.
My little girl, goodbye.
It was wonderful. You were wonderful.
For you, I accept. I don't care what it is or how it hurts. I'd do it again.
I don't care neither. I am glad too. It was wonderful. Goodbye.
God bless you.
I'll never forget you.
Goodbye. It was wonderful.
You were wonderful.
Goodbye.
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 You were wonderful.
It was wonderful.